what we're going to look at this evening. Let me tell you, those early Christians certainly saw the Lord. They had walked with Him. They had been with Him. In fact, for the last several weeks, we have gone from looking at Lazarus being raised on that Saturday. Then on Sunday morning, Palm Sunday, Jesus went into the city of Old Jerusalem. All of the last week, the things that happened in his life when he was betrayed, when he was sent from one trial to another, and then the crucifixion on Friday, and on Saturday there in the tomb, and then on Sunday morning, Easter had come. Jesus had risen from the dead. There was excitement in the air in the upper room on Sunday evening as Jesus appeared to them. And for the next 40 days, he would be making post-resurrection appearances so that his followers would know beyond reasonable doubt that he truly was the Son of God. He was God himself, robed in human flesh, that came to the earth for the purpose of bringing redemption to mankind. Then we saw last week where Jesus made his ascension from the Mount of Olives into the heavens, and that Jesus is coming again someday. But as Jesus commissioned those disciples, he told them to go back, into the city of Jerusalem, and they were to wait until the promise came. The promise would be the Holy Spirit, who would be the paraclete, para alongside cleat, the one that would be the comforter to them, the counselor to them. And so as those disciples went back to the upper room, scripture tells us there were 120 of them there in the upper room. And you can only imagine, they stayed there for the next 10 days, and they stayed there in prayer, waiting, knowing, looking expectantly with passionate hearts for the promise that was to come. Tonight in the book of Acts chapter 2, I want to share about the day of Pentecost, what happened, and we'll never be able to replicate a Pentecost. It came once, it happened one time, but what you and I can do is we can duplicate the conditions that they had before Pentecost came for them. In Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 13, scripture says, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Now there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the crowd came together and were bewildered because each of them was hearing them speak in his own language. They were amazed and astonished, saying, why are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we each hear them in our own language to which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the districts of Libya around Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them in our own tongue speaking of the mighty deeds of God. And they all continued in amazement and great perplexity, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others were mocking and saying, they are full of sweet wine. Tonight, what I want to do is I want to speak on the subject for the need that you and I have in a world that is so beside itself, searching, looking, grasping for answers to food issues, to financial issues, to vaccinations for the coronavirus. All over the world tonight, people are perplexed. People are struggling. But I think one of the best things in all the world that we as Christians can do in times like these is prepared to do everything that we can, like that early group of believers in the upper room as they begin to prepare for the promise of the coming of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you what this world needs tonight. This world needs Jesus. Jesus is the answer. He's the answer to all of the problems that we have. Let me tell you, we need that Pentecostal power tonight. We need a miraculous way to reach out and to share the good news of the gospel. Let me tell you, on the day of Pentecost, and we'll see this in another sermon, perhaps on Sunday evening when Peter stood up and would preach on that day of Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit came and filled that place, and 3,000 people were born into the kingdom of God. Tonight, I want us to think about Pentecost. You see, Pentecost was one of those feast days that the Jewish, the Hebrews, they observed. I mean, it was so much a part of their life. 1500 Pentecost had come and gone. But this particular one here in the book of Acts in chapter 2 would be different from all of the others that had ever been. There would be a new dispensation of time. God's church would be birthed. And it would explode into all of the world and become what it is today. The word Pentecost means 50th. It refers to the Jewish feast that was 50 days after the Passover. It was called the Feast of Weeks over in the book of Exodus chapter 34, 22. And in Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 10. And it was called also the Feast of the Harvest in Exodus 23 verse 16. But Pentecost. What on earth was Pentecost? Well, Pentecost was a day of thanksgiving. It marked the end of the grain harvest. It was a holy Sabbath day. They would take the corn and they would grind it into powder. They would add some oil, which would be symbolic of the working of the Holy Spirit. They also added some leaven. Now, leaven usually was not a part because leaven always referred to some sin. And so they added this leaven here because it is symbolic of the sin that is still in the world today in the church. You see, one of these days, Christ will present his church to God himself without spot and without blemish. But for such a time as this, there is still the sin that's in the world. Well, they'd take the two loaves of bread that was made into this these loaves, and they'd take two yearling lambs, and they would wave those as an offering to the Lord. It was a thank offering. They would be praising God for his incredible, boundless grace in giving a wonderful harvest. Now, people were expected to attend this feast, and they were required to offer a freewill offering to the Lord. This feast would take place 50 days after the resurrection. And it would fulfill the words of John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11. As for me, John the Baptist said, I baptize you with water for repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I am not fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Let me tell you, it would be this day. It would be Pentecost, 50 days after the resurrection. It was set aside in order to praise God for the great harvest. And the Lord began to harvest souls through this early group of people that would explode into the church, and it would ignite within them an incredible passion, an incredible desire to go out and share with the lost world that Jesus Christ was alive, is alive, and that Jesus Christ is the good news. And so the Holy Spirit came on that day of Pentecost. There was this great outpouring, and those early Christians would never be the same again. It was absolutely an amazing day. Now, we speak there about tongues. Lots of people get hung up on that. But this is referring to that in that period of time, all of those people, those Jewish Hebrew people that came from miles around, and they came from various locales, and each one of them spoke different dialects. In the Roman Empire, there were lots of different dialects that the people spoke. And when the Spirit of God moved, they all began to hear in their own native language, their own dialect. And 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 22 tells us, so then tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. But prophecy is for a sign, not to unbelievers, but to those who believe. You and I could never begin to duplicate Pentecost. It happened one time. The Holy Ghost has already come and has baptized every person who is saved. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13 says, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. That's the church, the body of Jesus Christ. Notice, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. The miracle of Pentecost cannot be replicated tonight, but what you and I can do is to take this passage of Scripture, and as we glean through these verses, we can duplicate the conditions that existed among God's people on that day that changed their lives forever. We can see God move in our midst in power and glory in these days. Just as He moved in the early days of the church, He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I don't know what God is doing right now all over the world, but I do know this. You and I have a window of opportunity right now during this time in our lives that we've never ever experienced before. Let me tell you, if each one of us would do our part in doing what happened that day on the day of Pentecost, praying like we've never prayed before, believing like we've never believed before, I believe that God wants to shower upon this world some things that this world needs to see and to know. One of the things the church needs today, I believe, in all of the world, is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ needs to be in one accord. Now, the Bible says in one of the translations, they were in one accord. Acts chapter 1, verse 14, they are working together. But look in verse 14. These all with one mind. That's where one of the translations says one accord. They had one mind, and that mind was to do the will and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. They had the mind of Christ. These all with one mind were continually, notice that, continually devoting themselves to prayer. Let me tell you, we've been talking in these days about what is essential, what are the non-essentials in our world, about particular situations and what we believe is the essential things that we need to do and the non-essential things. I want you to know, in this day and time, in this hour of need, let me tell you, if there was ever an essential that needs to be exercised and practiced by the people of God, it is to continually devote themselves to prayer, to pray. You know, sometimes, I don't know, you know, maybe you're like me. Sometimes some days are great days and you feel like you can reach up and pull heaven down and you can just pray and pray and pray and pray. There are other days in our lives that for whatever reason, we feel stifled. We feel like that we are just, we pray and we feel like that maybe our prayer is not getting above the ceiling. But I want you to know, in times like these, if there was ever a time, if there was ever a need for prayer, for the world, for people who are lost, for Christian people to bear one another's burdens, it is now. And here in verse 14 of the book of Acts, we read, these all with one mind, Christians united there on this particular day when the Holy Spirit of Almighty God would come and indwell the heart of every believer. They had one mind, and that was none other than to have the mind of Christ. And they continually devoted themselves to prayer along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. The New King James Version says these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. There were some 120 of those early followers. They're united in their desire, and their desire is to seek the face of the Lord. Oh, that Christians all over the world tonight would desire, would unite our hearts to continually seek the face of the Lord. I wonder what would change in our world tonight if Christians everywhere would join with united hearts in one spirit, in one accord, to seek the face of the Lord. Let me tell you, these early Christians, they were a body of people. They were unified in their purpose. And their purpose was to go out into their world and win people to Jesus. It's so vital for Christians to walk together in the spirit of unity so that the awesome power of Almighty God can move and work in ways that would absolutely stagger our imagination. If there ever was a time, I love to hear Keith and Sharon when they sing that song, if there ever was a time, let me tell you, we need to see a genuine, real stirring of God's people. It's in the present day that you and I are living. So this evening, I want you to notice, first of all, this group was united in purpose. They were united in purpose. We see in verse 4 and 5, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Now there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. The group of people, you see, on that day, they waited on the Lord. The Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Let me tell you, folks, tonight, don't grow weary. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Let me tell you, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let me tell you, he's the one that once you reach out by faith and receive him into your heart and life, that Holy Spirit that came on the day of Pentecost and filled those 120 in that upper room and then moved upon that crowd of people that were birthed into a church on that day. Let me tell you, life was never the same for them ever again. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, Paul was writing to the church at Philippi. He said, only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear of you that you're standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Paul wanted those Philippian Christians to be a team, working together for the glory of God and to carry out his will in the world. Now, while all of us have different functions, as 1 Corinthians tells us, we should all have the same common goal, and that is to tell others about Jesus. We sing that old song, I'll tell the world that I'm a Christian. I'm not ashamed his name to bear. I'll tell the world that I'm a Christian. I'll take him with me everywhere. Let me tell you, we all can have our different ideas about things, but when we reach a consensus, we should break out of the huddle, stand together, united for the good of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, Satan is alive and well in this world tonight. Satan has always been the deceiver. He's always been the divider. But I want you to know Jesus Christ is the uniter. And Christians all over the world tonight need to do as these early Christians did. They continually devoted themselves to prayer. Devote, what does that word mean? To devote yourself to prayer. Let me tell you, I believe it means to get serious with God. I believe that it means that when we come with an attitude of prayer with God, that we get serious about the things of God. And we get serious about the things of each other. That our focus becomes on reaching out and being an intercessor and praying for the needs of Christians all over the world and praying for the needs of the lost. If every Christian in the world tonight who professes to know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, and according to statistics that I have read, some 2.6 billion people profess that they know Jesus. Can you only imagine if 2.6 billion people all over the world tonight would absolutely commit themselves continually to devote themselves to prayer, all of us unified in the body of Christ, praying for this world like we've never prayed, praying for our leaders like we've never prayed, praying for our churches like we've never prayed, praying for each other like we've never prayed, interceding for those that are lost, that are doomed for eternal damnation and separation and isolation. Let me tell you, folks, I know many people have been quarantined in their homes and it's not been a fun thing. And yet at the same time, families have gotten to be together. Families have gotten to eat together. Families have gotten to do things together that they normally have not done on an everyday schedule. But I want you to know there are people that are going to be quarantined for all eternity in hell one of these days. Let me tell you, it's our responsibility. Jesus commissioned, Jesus commanded us to go and to preach the gospel and to teach the word. And let me tell you, our hearts ought to be continually devoted to an attitude of prayer. But not only were they united on this day when the Holy Spirit came, they were united in their purpose, but they were also secondly united in prayer. Verse 14 says, "These all with one mind were continually devoting themselves to prayer." Let me tell you, they prayed together. They prayed for each other. And I believe that one of the most essential things in all of the world right now is for Christians to pray like we've never prayed before. Let me tell you, in the book of Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 through 5, Paul was writing to the church of Galatia, and he says, "Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he's something when he is nothing, he deceives himself." He says, "But each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone and not in regard to another. For each one will bear his own load." Let me tell you, there's a bond that develops among people when they pray together. I'm so grateful for our prayer team here at New Hope Baptist Church. I'm grateful for those that have committed themselves collectively to pray for the many needs of people that are on our prayer list. I'm grateful for those of you that pray at home. Are you praying out in the field as you're plowing your fields, or you're driving up and down the road in your cars, going to various places and destinations and jobs and all of those kinds of things? I'm grateful for every boy and girl and man and woman here at New Hope Baptist Church that has committed themselves to pray, because prayer is the key that unlocks the door of heaven. Let me tell you, if Jesus himself ascended back out of this world to sit at the right hand of God the Father, the creator of this universe, and the Bible says he ever lives to make intercession. Let me tell you, if it was important to Jesus to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane before he went to the cross, if it was important for Jesus to be praying right now, tonight, on this Wednesday night in 2020, that he ever lives to make intercession, how much more should you and I give ourselves over to prayer? Let me tell you, on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came to those believers in Christ, they were united in purpose. They were united in prayer. But let me tell you, thirdly, they were united in power. In Acts chapter 2, verse 3 through 4, we read, "And there appeared to them tongues." Notice it says, "as of fire." I mean, it looked like fire. But this says that there appeared to them tongues as a fire, distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other languages. God allowed them to hear each other in their own native dialect. And it was absolutely astronomical. It was absolutely phenomenal. It was absolutely amazing that it so ignited within the hearts of those 120 people that they went out and they changed their world to where it is today. Let me tell you, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, the problem with our world today is this group of early believers, they got unified. They were right with God. They were right with each other. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, and it produced amazing results. They preached the same message, this same Jesus that we talked about this past week. They believed the same things. They carried the same burdens for each other. They loved the same things. Are you carrying the same burdens for people that are losing their jobs? For people that do not have enough food to eat? You know, there's a great concern in our world right now about food shortages. Are you praying for the burdens of other people? I believe that one of the issues that oftentimes creates problems for us in our churches, and Satan loves this since he's a divider, but it's where each one is in their own spiritual walk with the Lord. Some people are saved, but they're saved. They are saved, actually, as we would say, by the skin of their teeth. In other words, they got saved, they trusted Jesus, they didn't reject him, but they have not matured in any way, form, or fashion in their faith. Some are saved, and they are growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, some people are walking in the Spirit. Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit comes in once. It is the guarantee. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit till the day of redemption, when we're with Jesus one of these days. But let me tell you, are you walking in the Spirit? Are you letting the Holy Spirit control your thoughts, your actions, your motives? Let me tell you, during this time of coronavirus and with all of the people that are home and in their homes and isolated, I think about our precious loved ones and friends in the nursing homes and the retirement centers that are having to be confined to their little rooms, having to eat in the rooms alone by themselves. I can't even begin to imagine tonight what that would be like for some of them. But I do know this, we need to be praying for them. We need to be lifting them up, that God would just give them a lift during this time, even in the midst of what's happening. But I want you to know there are a lot of people tonight that are walking in the power of their flesh. Whatever the flesh dictates, that's what the person does, thinks. But I want you to know when the Holy Spirit of God is filling you day by day by allowing the Holy Spirit to guide you into all truth, let me tell you, there is a great difference. Let me tell you, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Paul said, be filled with the Spirit. Every day, you and I need to awaken and say, Holy Spirit of the living God, fall new and afresh on me. Help me, Lord, today. Lord, help me today to get it more right than I did yesterday. Lord, help me, Holy Spirit, lead me into all truth. Help me today that I would do the most essential things that you would have me do. You see, there are some people that are just not saved at all, but saved, the saved of this world. We're either walking in the power of our flesh, or we are being renewed with the filling of the Spirit day by day, letting God speak through us rather than our flesh. Let me tell you, it means to be Spirit controlled. And when the Spirit of God controls you and me, we will walk together in the power for His glory. Well, on the day of Pentecost, 50 days after the resurrection and the ascension, the early church of believers in Jesus were united in their purpose. They were united in prayer. They were united in power. And lastly, this evening, they were united in practice. Verse 4 of chapter 2 of Acts says, all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. Let me tell you, all of those that were present that day, they were empowered by the Holy Spirit of the living God to speak in other language, so that everybody who had come all over that known Roman world speaking in various different languages and dialects, they each heard the same message and they heard it in their own native tongue. Let me tell you, each one was busy doing their part. God saves you and me to serve, not to sit. In the book of James chapter 2, 18, it tells us, but someone may say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works. In Ephesians 2:10, Paul writing to the church at Ephesus, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. You see, no task is too small in God's eyes. Each of you are vital to the Lord's precious church. Whatever you do for Jesus, do it with all of your might. What the church needs in this post-Christian era of time is the Pentecostal power like never before. Vance Havner, the great old North Carolinian preacher, said, snowflakes are fragile things, but when they stick together, they can stop traffic. I read an illustration I like. It was in a Peanuts cartoon. Lucy demanded that Linus change the TV channels. She threatened him with her fist if he didn't. And Linus says, well, what makes you, Lucy, think that you can walk right in here and just take over? Lucy raised up her five fingers. She said, these five fingers, individually, they're nothing. But she said, when I curl them together, like this into a single unit, they are a weapon that is terrible to behold. Linus looked at Lucy and said, which channel do you want? You see, as he turned away, he looked at his own five fingers and he said, why can't you guys get organized like that? Oh, to see God's church filled again with people walking in the Holy Spirit of God would cause this world to sit up and take note. Is God sending you and me a window of opportunity during this time to do like we've never done before? You see, oh, for a great outpouring upon this world of Pentecostal power. If all Christians all over the world tonight got into the Spirit of the Lord within our hearts, we could change the world's attitude about what it means to be a Christian. God bless you. Thank you for joining in this live stream tonight. I love you. God loves you. And I want you to know, continue going forward. Continue looking up. Continue maturing in the faith. God bless you until we meet again on Sunday morning. Father God.